D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Hits and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. DHT know what's popping in the field.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200 square foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
It's a big closet.
Well, wait a minute. I had Gary over.
Saints.
He broke some bad news to me.
Uh-oh.
I love this podcast.
We love you too, bro. Apparently. Apparently, my 200 square foot studio, yeah. It ain't even 200 square feet. He actually counted the tiles on the ceiling. It's more like 100. He said maybe you push 110 square feet. So, I mean, it's a big closet, though. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I mean, got all my Saints shirts in here, got a big board so we can write a dry erasable marker board. I got my printer.
Yeah.
Got a little fan because it gets stuffy in here when I close the door.
So efficient use of the space.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, okay, so like,
but compared to the rest of the house, I mean, he does live in a palatial estate.
Yeah.
We just get the little, extra little closet room
got
downstairs.
Stuck into the little corner. Although I'm thinking about expanding.
Yeah.
Now I got the other room. We can have Studio A and Studio B.
Oh.
Heath, where do you think we're going to go? You think we're going to go to the big one or the little one? I think we're staying right here. We don't have that ESPN money.
Okay, so there might be something. That ESPN money ain't going away, huh? I tell you what. Wait till y'all see the new board I got.
We won't see it. Yeah. We won't see it. That's ours right there, Heath.
Hey, I got the one with
the one with
iPad
those stickers
controls,
on it.
Man, so we'll be able to preset because now I got all these different podcasts. Yeah. I need to be able to – we don't have to sound check like we do before every podcast
there you go.
Now.
There
so,
you go.
So you know how they have the Ancestry.com thing? Yeah. Like, have you ever just daydreamed about, like, man, maybe you came from some royalty or something?
Yeah.
Like, have you ever thought about that? I mean, every once in a while, you're like, man, I wonder, you know, if I can – well, I'm going on vacation at the end of August, and I had to go apply for a passport. So I pulled out my birth certificate, and it said on there where my father lived. I think maybe it's where they both. It says the Big Oak Trailer Park was on my birth certificate, and then all my dreams came crashing down. The thought of me being royalty, maybe somewhere back there, I realized that all those dreams. You know, I mean, although I've seen some movies where they found them in a trailer park and then they realized later they were royalty.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So I'm still holding hope out for that.
Yeah.
So,
anything's possible.
That's right.
The Saints could win 13 games this season. Then anything's possible.
It's possible, man. It's possible. I mean, like I said, I'm not betting my trailer on
that's
it.
That's right.
But it's possible.
Big Oak
Trailer Park. It might just be the name of it. It might be like horse trailers and like horse property.
Yeah.
It could have been something fancy up in Derrida.
That's right.
Up in Derrida. In Derrida.
It doesn't say single or double wide.
No, it doesn't say anything about that. So, anyway, man, we haven't done this since the season started. Yeah. I love this one.
Thank you. And now, it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of
so
dozens
exciting.
Of people for tens of dollars. Tomas, Heath, Dave,
me.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. So ready.
Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer Podcast.
But it's not tens of dollars because you always talk about the five.
Yeah, and you got to pay taxes on that, too.
Yeah,
so.
That's right.
Hey, look, man. I'm in a much better mood than I was early in the week.
But okay.
Yeah.
We were talking about all this injuries and people saying bad stuff about my Saints and got me all bent out of shape. But today we're going to talk about Armstead, and that's going to make it all better.
All better.
Yeah.
Well, because the surgery was successful.
It was successful.
That's
so
right.
I'm expecting a huge 2018 campaign where maybe we trade him to somebody who really needs a left tackle because – Ramczyk is going to do such a great job at left tackle.
Ramczyk will have established himself by then and be the starting left tackle.
So let's talk about it seriously. What happens if Ramczyk comes in and just locks down the left tackle position in a way that makes you say, look, even if, look, let's admit Armstead is a, I think he you can make an argument he's one of the top tackles in the league, top five, and I wanted to say top three, top five tackles in the league, but he has shown and proven some injury issues. What if Ramczyk comes in and he's top 10 or 12 tackle in the league?
Yeah.
Do you say, hey, man, what can we do to move him? Now, here's the one I'm going to bring this up because anybody knows anything about the Saints is probably already saying, oh, you can't move him. He got a salary cap. That's when Heath brought up, oh, was it Tomas?
Yeah.
Brought up the whole Houston Texans.
Brock Osweiler.
Osweiler and the Browns.
Yeah.
There's a team out there that might be willing, who has space like, let's say, Jacksonville, who might consider structuring the deal in a way where they're giving us money back.
Yeah.
We don't take the beating on the salary cap, and they take a gamble on a extremely talented, albeit injury-prone, left tackle.
Right.
I brought it up so y'all could talk about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, just generally speaking, yes. If Ramczyk comes in and lives up to his billing as a what would have been a much higher first round pick had he not had his own injury issue, that is a career left tackle. If he comes in and they actually put him at left tackle, and I know this is going to be controversial, but leave him at left tackle, and he actually nails down the spot, does a competent job, then yes, by all means. Now, whether or not you're going to be able to make it work from the money standpoint.
I was going to say, let's take my fairy tale dream about trading him to somebody who's going to give us money, because that really is far-fetched.
Okay.
Interesting. So what happens? Take the story from that point.
Well, unfortunately, the way the NFL works, if he comes back and he's healthy enough to get back on the field at some point, even if Ramczyk did a bang-up job and was a top 10 guy, we know the way things work in the NFL. Armstead is going to go back in at left tackle.
Not necessarily.
Oh, I think so.
What happened to Alex Smith to San Francisco?
Yeah, I don't know if that's comparable.
Kaepernick came back. Alex Smith never played again.
I don't know if that's comparable.
They traded him. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, they weren't really that happy with Alex Smith. Alex Smith wasn't.
I think Alex Smith has played his best ball. Maybe not best ball, but fits.
He has since he's been in Kansas City.
In Kansas City, where they accept and they're okay and they embrace and like where he fits in as a ball control quarterback.
Well, and
not only that, he also, in San Francisco, 4 years in a row, four different offensive coordinators. You can't do anything, you know.
Well, that's true.
He went to Kansas City, got the same guy now for several years in a row. It makes a difference.
Let me add in another point. Besides for just the money issue, if Armstead comes back healthy, I think you're right. I think he's certainly a top five, maybe a top two or three tackle in the league.
Okay, so now.
So he also has that going for him. Yeah. If he gets to a point where he physically is ready to step back on the field, unless Ramczyk duplicated or exceeded that and was the number one rated left tackle in the league or something.
So you guys, and I think maybe we might have differing opinions, you guys think that you would you rather have a top three left tackle who's injury-prone and, although healthy, has the potential to be banged up again, or leave in and solidify an offensive line with a hypothetical. Now, this is a lot of hypothetical, top 10 tackle.
Yeah.
Just trying to make an argument. What does Ramczyk have to do to keep his job, aside from being as good as Armstead?
Now, I go back to what I said before. You have better guard play. So now you don't need to have a one or two out at left tackle the way the Saints play because of Drew Brees.
Right.
What you need is a one or two, or a top five guard is what you need. And now if you have suddenly two top five guards playing the game, it doesn't make any difference whether you have a number two tackle or a number 10 tackle. Then you go with the number 10 tackle to solidify the line.
So now we're kind of going back to
Wait, before we get off of this, before I forget.
Okay.
You know, we said that Cleveland did this deal. Cleveland did a deal that has been the kind of deal has been being done in the NBA for years.
Right.
Right.
Now, it's the first time it happens in the NFL. Doesn't mean it's going to be the last. It's not a one-and-done kind of deal. Now I'm thinking all the other GMs are looking to go, oh, man, if they can do that, you know, what else can be done? How else can we play this game like the NBA plays?
Right.
Don't be surprised if there are other things that end up happening, you know, during this, before the season starts, or next year between seasons. I mean, anything is possible once you figure out how to play the game.
Sure.
You know, so it wouldn't surprise me that there is some way that Armstead could be traded and that we don't get killed in the money issue.
So, yeah, I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
Okay, the Browns did prove it's possible.
Yes.
And the likelihood, and maybe I'm even saying, oh, it's unlikely because it doesn't, it's never happened before this one, you know, one situation, unique situation happened.
Right.
But like you said, man, I mean, some other teams might say, I'm willing to do this in order to start making these kind of trades. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't seem so far-fetched.
Right.
But it's going to be, it will be hard to see if Ramczyk, what if we end up with a Bushrod situation? Bushrod was not an amazing left tackle, but he was good enough to be a Super Bowl left tackle, Super Bowl winning left tackle. With, you know, I would say average to above average skill set because of the way the Saints play football.
Right.
There's no reason to believe that Ramczyk couldn't be that player in a get the ball out of your hands quick kind of offense where you don't necessarily need.
Or more.
Sure.
Neither Bushrod nor Armstead were high draft picks. Ramczyk was a legitimate number one first round draft pick.
Well, it's
so he comes in with a higher chance at being that guy than either Bushrod or Armstead did when they came in.
His skill set is already beyond where theirs was by year three.
And he was a legitimate left tackle throughout the entirety of his college career. Right. I mean, so he has a higher chance. Now, I'm not saying it's going to work out.
Yeah, they were projecting him to right, but his position for 4 years has been left tackle.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Which kind of cracks me up because I wonder where they get the confidence after what happened to Pete.
Wait, now hold on. This is another thing, though. I don't think everybody in the NFL was automatically projecting Ramczyk as a right tackle.
No.
The Saints, again, drafted a left. And you know what? It's still our assumption that the Saints drafted first Pete and now Ramczyk to put at right tackle.
Yeah.
We don't actually 100% know that, I don't believe.
Yeah. Right. And, I mean, we'd also...
In other words, I don't think the Saints went into this going, man, we're getting us a right tackle right now.
They never said that. And they never actually came out and said, well, Ramczyk's going to be working at right tackle, and then all of a sudden Armstead got hurt. Oh, we're going to move him on. Did I miss anything? Do you guys recall
anywhere where the Saints said they were just bringing him as a tackle.
Right. And so forget about the speculation. The Saints never actually exposed that he was going to be working at right tackle.
I brought this up when we drafted Pete. On this show, we talked about it. I bring it up again with Ramczyk. Don't think that the Saints weren't sitting there going, man, this guy Armstead's great, but we just can't keep him on the field.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We got a guy sitting here that's got a little injury problem. If we're going to be able to get him at 31, people were talking about this guy in the middle of the pack, in the teens. You know, we got another chance to pick up another really good offensive lineman here and hedge our bets.
Yeah.
I mean, the Saints realize that they can't keep the guy on the field.
Yeah. Right.
They know more than we know.
And worst case scenario is, okay, Armstead stayed healthy.
Right.
We got an aging right tackle.
Sure.
And sure, But, you know, I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know where the Saints got the confidence after what happened to Pete, meaning they tried him on the right side and he couldn't play. What did Ramczyk ever do to make them say, oh, yeah, he got it. Let's draft him.
Right.
He's a good value where he's at. Right. Draft him. We can put him on the right side.
Yeah.
And I mean, you end up with like three first round left tackles. Forget about first round, but high talent on the left side because none of them can play the right.
All right. I'm going to come out with this, and maybe I'm wrong, but this is what my thought was when you were saying that. I believe they drafted Pete with the intent of, you know what, we're going to do with him the same way we've done with every tackle that we've got. For the first couple of years, he's going to learn how to play, and he'll be in there on jumbo packages, and that's it. So he's not playing. You know, during preseason, we can give him a little time at guard so he knows how that is, and give him a little time at this tackle, so he knows where. But he's not playing. He's going to be learning for 2 years. We've got that luxury, and we're going to go for 2 years. And then suddenly the luxury wasn't there anymore, and he said, well, now we got to play this kid.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, where do we need him? Well, we need him at guard. Let's try him there. Well, they tried him at guard, and it's like, no, kid, they can play right guard. It's a completely different foreign object to him here. All right, well, Streets a little banged up. Let's put him at right tackle. No, he's not doing too good at right tackle. Now, doesn't mean that in 2 years he couldn't learn how to play right tackle. Because remember, Streets didn't start when we first got him. I mean, he's a much lower draft choice, don't get me wrong. But, you know, a lot of these guys who are drafted in the first and second round offensive line, they don't start right away. They have to learn the position. Now, to me, I still go back and say the same thing. They messed up this kid's head. Pete was so screwed up. He didn't know if he was playing left, right, middle, backwards, front. He didn't know. You could tell when he was in it. He was overthinking every play. None of his real natural ability was there. Except when they said, okay, you're going to play guard for the last half of the year. You're just playing guard. You could see him steadily getting better and better at guard. Because then he stopped thinking so much. It's like, I'm just going to let myself play. I'm going to play. You know? So, to me, this kid that we got, don't mess with his head. Don't put him in any other position. Just leave him at left tackle when he's played for 4 years. Right. You know? And there's going to be a learning curve still. Don't get me wrong. He's not going to go out there and be a world beater. Yeah. But I don't think it's going to take him long.
Because I'd like to see him in the future. I know this is an unpopular thing. But I'd like to see him go out and draft a right tackle to take over for the right tackle that we keep trying to push out of the door.
I agree.
That, by the way, keeps turning in really good seasons.
Because now we're young enough at guard that we don't have to worry about replacing the guards.
Right.
Right.
You know, so.
All right. Well, let's hit a break. Then we come back. Tomas is going to talk to us about the rookies, the rookie class.
Right.
And then also we have a little bit later in the show, we have a visit from our very own Chris Landry. He's going to do his segment. And we'll talk to you in a minute.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming for more BS and Beer podcast.
All right, Tomas.
Man, I kind of like that.
You like that? Dun,
yeah,
dun, 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 dun. I see a little belly dancing going
exoticism.
On. Yeah, like maybe you were being recruited by the University of Louisville, man. You know, just you were 15 again. Yeah. Anyway.
No.
There's some boys out there getting traumatized by that music, man. All right, now we're talking the rookie class.
Okay, we want
to talk Tomas, I'm going to hand you the floor, buddy.
All right, where's that floor? All right. Well, I had promised last week that we were going to talk a little bit. I'm trying to pick up different angles to talk about to emphasize in our shows. And so I mentioned that because Dave doesn't believe that any of the rookies are going to make the team, I thought we would talk about rookies. So I've got a list here in front of me. First, I'll start off with the rookies that we drafted. So we had two number ones, a number two, three number threes, and a number six. So by my standards, not by Dave's, by my standards.
Here we go.
I would say this. I think the steal of the draft is our second round pick, Marcus Williams.
People getting excited about him.
I believe that Marcus Williams will be the starting safety in some form or another, you know, by game number one, to tell you the truth. I think that they'll have a scheme together where he's going to be flying around back there.
I see a lot of possibilities. I see a lot of scenarios where that ends up happening.
Ramczyk, we already talked a little bit about. You know, our second pick in the first round. All things are pointing to him starting at left tackle for the beginning of the season. Lattimore, defensive back. Again, I think he's a little bit more of a question mark because I actually believe it or not, I actually believe we're going to have some fierce competition at cornerback. I really do. I don't think anybody's locked down yet. Maybe, bro. But that's a maybe because he didn't play that well at the end of the season. So if he's completely healthy, which is a lot of people are talking about Lattimore, bro, and PJ playing a slot, which makes perfect sense to me if they're all healthy and they play to their capability. But I'm just saying to you that there are a lot of other people in our defensive backfield that suddenly you're like, really? Yeah. Okay, but we'll get to those in a moment. So then, the guy who's going to make a big difference to me on offense, Kamara, running back. Going to play that little satellite position. But I think he's actually even better than what we think because not only can he hit that corner, I think he can play so that you can't really just say he comes in the game, oh, it's going to be a screen pass. You know, I actually think he can come into the game and go up the middle.
Yeah.
Because he's got the size enough to do that. So there's another rookie that I think will be playing there. Then we come to the two rookies that I'm quite certain that Dave is going to say there's no chance in hell for these guys.
I mean, why are you putting words in my mouth?
Because I know how. Well, I got an alligator sausage for you. I mean, so anyway,
the hook.
There you go, Captain Hook. Okay. So round three, we picked up a linebacker by the name of Anzalone, also known as Thor. Now I said clearly that this was our number one issue on the team. That I thought linebacker was an absolute first-round draft choice. Didn't get it. Didn't get it in the second. Well, we finally got it with our second pick in the third. And I know we've talked about the injury issue. But if this guy's over that injury issue with that shoulder, this guy could have been a legitimate number one pick.
I want to say this and jump on that. I don't know how to say this. This injury thing has been perpetuated over and over to the point where this guy has just been injured the entire time. And all.
And he hasn't.
He hasn't. No. Like the injuries, he had some bad luck with injuries, with broken.
The broken arm was nothing. Yeah, that was
right,
just.
Right, that's just something that happens playing football. Yeah. And the shoulder issue. Now, I remember, I won't be able to remember the kid's name. He's a fourth-round draft pick, a linebacker, and he had a shoulder problem. And then we brought him in, and his shoulder problems persisted. And Anzalone, am I pronouncing it properly?
Yeah, Anzalone.
He had a problem. I am doing my research, and I don't know. It's like there were things said when he was drafted, and I feel like the media, all of the internet media, if that's what you want to call them, have clung on to that and haven't gone out and done their research to question. They're just saying and the same thing everybody else has been saying.
Right.
I don't see where these horrendous injury issues.
It's not a horrendous injury.
I don't see it.
It's a sore shoulder. That's what it was. He didn't have. It was nothing like he had to have, you know, major surgery and he was out for a year. It was nothing like that. So that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking that he might be right up there with Williams as a sleeper in his draft. Then there's Hendrickson. Everybody crying we didn't get an edge rusher. This kid Hendrickson looks like he might also be a sleeper. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be a starter because I don't think he's going to be. Okay, but I think you were talking about depth. I think he's going to have depth. I think by the last part of the season, the last third of the season, I think he will have gathered enough little experience here and there that if we need him, he might be fresh and available. And then I think the one guy that we drafted that's a project is our boy Muhammad. Now, that's our draft picks. 7 picks. And I know you're going to say every year people talk about all our draft picks. I legitimately believe that this is the first year I can actually say I don't think they're cutting any one of these kids. I think every one of these kids is going to make this team. I think Muhammad's going to be on the practice squad. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah.
Developmental.
Yeah. I think the rest of them are going to make this team. Now, let's go on because we have some more. The UDFAs. We have a long snapper who I think is going to make this team. Dominguez. Right. Everything I've heard from practice is he's spot on. You know, we didn't sign Dresch. You know, you're going to have a new long snapper. So to me, it's a possibility. Now, we got some other people on here that I can't say much for. I'm just going to give you the other rookies on here. I may have missed one. I hope not, but. Wide receiver, LSU boy, I don't see him making the team. Edmonds, tight end, I don't see him making the team. Robinson Woodgett, fullback, I don't see him making the team. Tautu, linebacker, I don't see him making the team. Tom, a center, I don't see him making the team. Now, Lowen, which one of the kids is the one that we signed who's from England who's going to be on the practice squad no matter what? Was it Lowen or Lawrence?
Got me, man.
It's one of these two kids. I can't remember.
So I don't get that low on the depth chart.
I can't remember now off the top of my head, but it's one of those kids. Okay. So now I have two kids left on the UDFA, so I think have a shot. One of them is the kid that was the quarterback, defensive back, wide receiver, Thomas. I think he's got a shot to make it on the
practice squad.
Practice squad. Thank you, Dave.
That word escaped you. Yeah.
I always want to say special. No, it's not special. It's practice squad. Yeah. I think he has a chance to be one of those developmental kids that we'll keep around. And then the other kid that intrigues me is, again, a defensive back where we're very crowded. And that's the kid who's a local. Mollett, I think that's how you say his name.
Yeah.
Who went to Bonneville, was it that he went to?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And then Mississippi, whatever. So those are the two UDFAs that I would say. I think they may have a chance. So between the 7 we drafted and the 2 UDFAs that I think, that's 7 rookies that I think have a shot at being on this team in one way or another. All right, now I'm open for comments for the rest of the gang here. See what the-
Well, first of all, I didn't know when you told me you had this thing about the rookies. I didn't know it was just going to be a recap pep rally for the rookies.
Well,
but
no,
I will
not
say
a
this.
Pep rally, but it's just no, I'm stating the fact that I believe that these kids have a much better chance than we've had in the past.
If you let me finish my
right,
thought
so
there,
ahead.
I agree with you. This to me is one of the best. Now we'll see if it pans out, like, because it's so easy. But to me, I can't remember the last time I was this excited about a rookie draft class.
Yep.
I mean, it's just not only do they fill positions of need, it feels like they've gotten players value. And it's not just me who thinks that. I mean, every website had us, you know, picking this all these great values. Now, you just statistically speaking, it's going to be hard for all of them to end up being good. There's going to be some guy that's just, we thought he was going to be good, didn't make it, whatever.
Sure.
But
sure,
this is an exciting draft class.
Sure.
I have to agree with you. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I can't wait until training camp, which you got the dates for training camp now?
Yes. July 16th is when the rookies have to report. No, wait. July 19th is when the rookies report. And July 26th is when the veterans report.
Right. I mean, I can't wait. I mean, this is going to be one of the most exciting preseasons to get to see these young players play. We're going to get to see, dang it, I can't remember his name, man, a quarterback that we got in the third round a couple of years ago.
Grayson?
Yeah, I lost all its humor when I couldn't remember his name. But anyway, but no, I mean, there's a lot.
I thought maybe you were going to be interested in watching the kid from the New York Giants.
New York Giants.
Yeah, the other quarterback. Nasby?
Oh, is that his name?
Nassib. You know what's funny is that I don't really know much about him to begin with, so anything that he brings, I'm going to be surprised. But yeah. Here's how I'm in the preseason. I'm looking at the guys I expect to contribute. Then when some new guy, I'm like, who's that guy? And he goes start doing research on him. If I knew we signed him, and I just don't expect much from him. And if he starts doing something, you know, we'll have a podcast. I'm like, let me tell you about this guy. And you're like, yeah, dude, we told you about him, you know, like 3 months ago. I'm like, oh, well, let me tell you this, you know.
Well,
so.
After watching him in New York for a while, he's going to surprise everybody if he does anything.
Yeah, I think he's just a camp bomb.
You never know, man. I mean, a change of scenery. I don't know. I'm trying to be positive,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I tell you what, let's take a break, bring in Chris Landry. Then we'll come back with our final thoughts, second of the week. I expect y'all to have better final thoughts than y'all had last show. You understand? You get paid to do a job, and I expect that job to get done.
Yeah,
we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. All right, he was a coach for the Oilers, the Titans, the Browns, an NFL scout for many years. Now he's an NFL player personnel consultant. You can find him at LandryFootball.com. It's Chris Landry. Chris, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you again, Dave.
Hey, man, always a great time with you. Hey, I know you're pressed for time today. Really what I want to do is get your take on a couple of big injuries, or at least the news has come out that these injuries are a little worse than what we suspected. Right off the bat, Teron Armstead, come to find out, it looks like October will be the earliest that he would be able to make in the field, and that's the earliest. Could you give us your take, your thoughts on what effect that has on the Saints offensive line?
A huge effect. It's not something that they can't overcome, but it's going to be very difficult. He is the most athletic, you know, left tackle guy that they have on their roster, and to lose him is significant. You know, with all the spread sets and keeping tight ends to block is something they don't like to do normally. So it really puts those guys on an island. It's going to be very difficult. There are a couple of options on the roster that they can look at, and certainly, you know, we'll see. You know, they explore that and how well they're able to get that accomplished. But Anders Pete could go out there, you know, and I think they'll keep Streif on the right side. Ramczyk, we'll see how they develop a man. We could see them pick up somebody. If not the first wave of cuts, the second wave of cuts. So, listen, it's a tough loss. Certainly he's developed into good blindside protector. And in terms of the October return, I think you have to play this as if you get him back and get something productive from him this year, it's a bonus. Because while you're rehabbing, you're not really getting better. You're getting back to square one. So if the Saints find themselves in the playoff race, and they could get some productivity after Thanksgiving from them, that would be a bonus, but I wouldn't expect it.
Okay. Now, the other one, the hammer came down, Nick Fairley. I think a lot of fans were out there keeping hope that maybe some good news would come out of it. The news came out, he's done. He's done for the season, and we've already talked about him. Maybe you can give us a little thoughts on who you think might be able to step in or what the Saints might do to fill that void.
That's a tough – it's another tough one, maybe even tougher to fill with him. They don't have a lot of depth there, and certainly they've got some young guys that have played. What it does, it really affects their overall depth. I mean, you can look at a Sheldon Rankins that can come back, but, you know, he's got to stay healthy. If he were to have an injury again or have another injury, they'd be in, they'd really be depleted. They've got some young, what I call rotational guys. When they sign Fairley, let's go back to Fairley when he came out of college at Auburn. There was a red flag on the heart issue. Some had a more lenient grade on it than others medically. Obviously, the Saints believed in him. They gave him a nice chunk of change. We may have seen him play his last football, depending on what the doctors say. It's a tough fill. They don't have anybody right now that can replace him and do what he did, with the exception of Rankins, who can, I think, can give him some of the qualities. But they are going to be missing the fact that they won't have a couple of those guys in that position. Again, could sign a guy, probably need to sign a guy. Not now. There's nothing available on your ready list that's as good as what you have. And the way I always believe in doing it is give the reps where it needs to be with the young guys on your roster, and then try to add that guy that might fall through the cracks. That's your job of your pro personnel department, to be able to jump on top of that. And it may not be a veteran. It may be another young guy that slips through on a team that has some depth that tries to get them through waivers. That's what you got to pounce on. They absolutely need to add someone, because they're not good enough without Fairley to be the type of defense that they hope to be.
Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast here with Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Chris, thank you so much for jumping on with us. I know you pressed for time, so we're going to let you run. But we will talk to you in the future. And thanks again, and have a great day, my friend.
Hey, you do the same. It's always great being with you, and look forward to talking again very soon.
Yes, sir.
Kissing hands and shaking babies, the BS and Beer podcast.
All right, we're back, the BS and Beer podcast. So check it out, fellas. Next week, because we did the bonus show this week, next week, our 100th show.
Woo-hoo!
I mean, hey, you talk about like stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
it's only the first 100.
They
talk to me when we get to 1,000.
Jeez and crackers, right, man! We got the
enthusiasm.
No, we got to roll you
that's
in here.
That's
almost
as ridiculous as the Saints winning 13 games next year.
We have Tomas in here. Like, what's that scientist's name? Like, we are the Saints. You know, he'll be punching on the keyboard. Come on,
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, yeah.
I take it as a compliment. He's supposed to be even have a higher IQ than I do. So,
Mark,
I'm good with that.
I'll take that.
No problem.
All right. So for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio, this is a BS and Beer podcast. Y'all have a fun and safe 4th of July weekend. We'll catch you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.